Hello, this is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show, and today we're pleased to be interviewing Dr. Andrea Rosenoff, who is an independent scholar and an expert in magnesium nutrition and the co-author of a book called The Magnesium Factor, How One Simple Nutrient Can Prevent, Treat, and Reverse High Blood Pressure, Heart Disease, Diabetes, and Other Chronic Conditions. I can attest to this as in the practice of natural medicine, I found magnesium to be one of the most important things we recommend for our patients. And I think Andrea is joining us today from Hawaii. Is that right?
It certainly is.
Oh, my goodness. Are you up at 6?
I am.
Oh,
it's
my.
It's a beautiful day.
And thanks
if
so much
I'm a
for
little
getting
groggy,
up at
that's
6.
Why.
Yeah, really. I'm a little groggy, and it's noon here. We were talking before the show. I was telling Andrea I was a little sleep deprived this week, which of course is stress, and I was reading her Stressful to the System, and I was reading her book, The Magnesium Factor, and I said, oh my goodness, I have to do extra magnesium if I'm stressed. Well, thanks so much for getting up early. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in magnesium research?
Certainly I would. I did my PhD in nutrition at University of California, Berkeley. And my specialty was in the minerals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, iron. I did a lot of work on iron. But the minerals in general. And very soon after I finished, like within a year, I was invited to go to a conference and give some commentary on a paper that was presented about magnesium. And in order to do that adequately, I went to the library and started reading up on magnesium. And understand that I had just finished my doctorate in this field at a major institution in nutrition. And what I found in the literature was such a surprise to me about magnesium that I had not learned at all, that I became very interested. It became like a hobby
right,
to just follow it along. That was back in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And my jobs took me into the online scientific literature world, so I had access very, very early to like chemical abstracts and Medline and those large
mm-hmm.
databases. So as a hobby, I kind of kept it up, kept looking at it. And many years later, I had gotten chronic fatigue syndrome and had to stop working and had a very non-productive period for a long time. But when I started to come back, the major databases, some of them were free online, like PubMed, and I started looking at it again, of course, when I was able
mm-hmm.
to sit up for long periods of time and concentrate again. And it was all still there, and it was even more compelling than it had been several years before, and that's when I realized, this is not going away, and nobody knows about it, and I've got to write a book. And that's when I got interested in really getting into the literature, writing about it, and doing some research on it. I made a phone call to Dr. Mildred Seelig because I had met her at a conference
mm-hmm.
in my travels around, and I knew she had been studying, she was a medical doctor, and she had been studying magnesium for over 40 years and had done some very significant work on it. And I called her and said, hi, I want to write a book. I'd like to interview you. And she said, oh, I've always wanted to write a book for the general public. Let's do it together. And that changed my life because she had papers going back to the 20s and the 30s and the 40s that she had been collecting about mm-hmm. magnesium and its impact on medicine and health. And she tutored me. She mentored me.
Mm-hmm.
And she introduced me to the world of international nutrition, and we wrote the book together and published a couple of things together before she passed away. And that's my story now. I'm passionate about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, we certainly know that the old-time doctors used to do a couple of things. They used to give magnesium whenever you went to the ER with any chest pain. That was standard in the older days before all the pharmaceuticals. And we also know that they gave B12 shots. And if you look at all of that, you know, those are both really good things to help to stabilize the coronary arteries as well as prevent high homocysteine. And it's interesting that they were probably doing it without any scientific data. It was all just anecdotal that it helped, and now we know why.
Yeah, it really was. Well, you know, for such a long time, the medical practice was based on case studies.
It was,
the statistical era that we're in now, you know, it's really, really very recent. But most of the medicine was based on what they would now call anecdotal evidence, but it really used to be called the case study.
Right. So in terms of the balance of magnesium, sodium, and potassium, and calcium, I guess, your book goes into that. We probably don't have time to go into it in great detail, but I just wanted to tell our listening audience that it's really the balance of these salts that are so critical. And the book goes into very well about what factors disbalance the salts. And if you take too much calcium, which a lot of doctors recommend now, you know, just take your calcium and now maybe your vitamin D. But if you don't take magnesium with that, you can get kidney stones and some other calcifications of things in your body that you don't want. So it's really the balance of everything.
It really is.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really true.
Yeah. My story is that I had fibromyalgia from a young age, and I'm a surgeon. I spend 12, sometimes 15 hours in surgery, often like, 4 days a week. I'm sorry. And that's very stressful because you're not drinking anything during that time. You're not eating. Sometimes I just eat one meal at midnight, and I really found that Korvalin M, which has magnesium, malic acid, and ribose, was very helpful even during surgery. They go out and get me some vitamin C mixed with that, and I take that, and my energy comes right back up. And if you know anything about the Krebs cycle, you know that is at least that's major components feeding the Krebs cycle, and without the Krebs cycle, we don't have energy. So we have to go right back to physiology. I mean, that's where we start.
It really is true. It really is true. And I think that all the nutrients, all the essential nutrients, such are called, people don't realize that all of them impact those basic biochemical reactions.
They do.
And that the body needs to have. And the body can do all of these biochemical reactions as long as it has adequate and balanced amounts of these essential nutrients. 44 for human beings, approximately. And without them, the only way they can get them is from the diet, from the outside of the body, or from supplements. We're lucky about that today. But without them, the body has got to adapt and change and go off balance, essentially. And if it gets too far out of where it needs to be, then disease is going to come in. And you're going to start to see clinical manifestations. That's going to be a nutritional deficiency. Now, you can treat those with medications and drugs, but it is not going to go to the core cause, which is the lack or the imbalance of one of the essential nutrients.
And if you have a magnesium and potassium deficiency, which often go hand in hand, it's so easy to correct it. You know, you talk about a salt substitute that has potassium. As long as you don't have any kidney disease with decreased renal function, taking over-the-counter potassium supplements and magnesium supplements, or just the salt substitutes, are a really easy way to do this. And as your book demonstrates, a lot of times high blood pressure comes right back down.
Yes,
irregardless
really
of weight loss, I like that one, irregardless of weight loss.
It is. I know.
Yeah, it's fabulous. And I do that all the time. I have all these patients who I just replaced their potassium and magnesium, and they call me up and they tell me they're dizzy, and I say, well, take your blood pressure, and their blood pressure's low, and I go, well, then start decreasing your antihypertensive meds. Because like you point out in the book, the antihypertensive meds are going to lower the pressure irregardless of what the pressure is, and so people get symptomatic. But if you just replace your magnesium and potassium, it's not going to lower it to more dangerous levels.
No, it normalizes it rather than lowers it.
Right.
Yes, it's wonderful. And it's good if you possibly can to get off those meds.
They have side effects.
It's a really good thing.
It is. They have side effects. Like I say, when we start lowering blood pressure by normalizing the things that we consider in functional medicine, if you're on a high blood pressure medicine, you can get symptomatic because, you know, or if you have an adrenal crisis and your blood pressure lowers naturally during an adrenal crisis, if you're on antihypertensive meds, you can, you know, get dizzy and fall and, you know about hip fractures and all the things that go with that. So, you know, it's really quite reasonable to fix the problems that are basic in physiology, rather than try to do prescription drugs for them. And it's so inexpensive to take magnesium and potassium supplements, and there's even transdermal magnesium if you don't want to take anything. There's you can take an Epsom salt bath and get magnesium transdermally, some magnesium transdermally with that. So there's many different ways to, you know, to that's why when you have sore aching muscles, taking an Epsom salt bath helps, because sore aching muscles are associated with magnesium deficiency, so you're treating it directly.
There it is.
Yeah.
You know, I ran into a man who was, I was getting some glasses, reading glasses, and the man who was at the store was looking so miserable. I said, "What's wrong?" And he says, "Oh, I've got this back pain, and they want to do surgery on my back." And he was very distressed, because he didn't want to have to take these very strong meds, and if surgery was the only option, what was he going to do? He had to keep working. You could see the stress in the man's face, and I said, you know, you might just try some magnesium and some good massage, you know.
Right.
And he looked up. He said, really, it couldn't be that simple. And I said, well,
yeah,
you know,
it
maybe it's not it, but if it is, boy, it sure would be nice to avoid that surgery. And because it's so easy to try. And the next time I saw him, he said he had improved tremendously. He did not have to take those strong meds, and he was not going to be facing surgery anymore. Wow, that was a life changer.
Well, and also it's not just that. It's what was the magnesium deficiency doing to his coronary arteries? You know, what was it doing to his blood clotting potential for strokes? You know, there's all sorts of other things. Magnesium is just so critical for a large range of things. If you do have a deficiency, you have all these other things as well. So that's the miracle thing. Yeah, that's why it's the miracle factor, is because if you do have a deficiency, you're going to have a list of 20 to 25 things that are symptoms that if you try to take, you know, 20 different medications for, those drug-drug interactions are going to end up, you know, causing all sorts of other problems that just are avoidable. And functional medicine, as you know, is really going to be the medicine of the future. Functional medicine is where we try to fix the functional problems. You know, if you have amino acid deficiencies, if you have electrolyte imbalances, if you have all of these things that, you know, that really are probably the primary cause of most sudden things like stroke, heart attack, sudden death. Electrolyte imbalance is difficult to diagnose, but is very, very common cause of these things. And you give an example in your book of somebody who just had coronary artery bypass and had a high stress level because of a car wreck right outside of his house with a loud noise, and then ended up having chest pain and ended up dying of a heart attack with patent coronary arteries. Except what did that stress, that noise stress, do if he was still magnesium deficient? I think that's an interesting story.
I had first seen, in this long trail I had of just sort of watching it, Susan, for such a long time, I was looking for ways and evidence-based science of how magnesium impacted the risk factors for heart disease. Because I thought, well, if this is the real thing, then magnesium should be able to explain every risk factor as the underlying unifying principle in all these risk factors that we keep looking at and, in fact, we keep treating.
Right.
And I saw this article, and I knew about stress, and I saw this article in the newspaper one time about how people who had had catheterization procedures, which, of course, to help diagnose their heart disease, that they died more than the people who had not had the catheterization procedure. And they were stunned by this. And I was not. I said, that's a very stressful situation.
Yeah.
By the fact that they need a catheterization procedure, let's say even half of them are magnesium deficiency, which is probably a low estimate.
It is.
You put people with a magnesium deficiency through a stressful procedure like that without giving them magnesium, all you're doing is worsening the core situation.
Right.
Of course they're going to have a higher mortality than the people in the same condition who don't go through that stressful situation.
Mm-hmm.
It made perfect sense to me. And that's why looking at all this discussion about the risk factors in heart disease in our nation and the rest of the world that's on the processed food diet, it, when you start to look at it from this balanced nutrient and balanced mineral point of view, these seemingly unexplainable results really make sense.
And some of the medications that people are put on for high blood pressure and heart disease actually lower potassium and magnesium. And
magnesium, that's right.
And you think about all of the times that, you know, we see people with, I mean, we do it in surgery because we measure their electrolytes before surgery, and we see their potassium's low, their serum potassium's low, which means their intracellular potassium is way low. And here we are about to operate on them and make them even more prone to things. That, you know, it's just a wonder that doctors haven't figured out that people need to have electrolyte balance as one of the, probably one of the number one things for health that there is.
Well, absolutely, and it would make any surgery that you did have to do, you know, it would make it so much safer and so much more productive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination of that nutrition plus medicine, which I think would give us the strongest future that we could have.
Right.
But one without the other, I don't see how we're just going to stay in this essentially unbalanced state, you know, of our medical care.
That's true. And this, it also explains how a diet, you know, high in kind of raw foods and or natural foods rather than processed foods makes people healthier. And it, much of it is because of the more balanced magnesium and potassium ratios, lower salt ratios, I mean, lower sodium ratios.
That's right. Because whenever you have a high vegetable, high fruit diet, you are essentially upping your potassium and your magnesium intake. And if your deficiency in either of those, or deficit, or your marginal status is within, you know, a small bounds, changing to that kind of diet can happen very fast. You'll feel a lot better and these symptoms can go away. If you have a stronger deficit, it could take longer. And it might be worthwhile to use supplements in order to do that. But since we're talking about the balanced nature, if you can do it with foods, I think it's always the better way to go.
It is.
Possible.
But, you know, so many of the patients do require a supplement as along with food, just because a lot of them don't have the ability to change the diet. Not
this
everybody
is
cooking for themselves, you know, and the elderly are in homes that, you know, have fixed diets. If somebody is
well, that's certainly my case. I'll tell you that's the truth, you know.
Magnesium supplements, yeah, there's many different kinds of magnesium. Things like magnesium oxide are less well absorbed and they tend to cause more diarrhea, which is great if you're treating constipation. There's magnesium gluconate, there's magnesium aspirate, there's magnesium citrate, there's magnesium, I can go on and on and on. What single supplement do you recommend for the majority of people?
Well, I don't.
If you had one.
Yeah, if I had to, usually I hand people something and say, here, try this and see if it works for you, or buy this, see if it works for you. And sometimes I will give them citrate or gluconate, and sometimes the oxide, too. I recently gave some magnesium oxide to a young man who had very severe diabetic coma, was under a lot of stress, and it worked for him. But he added others right away. As soon as he started to feel better a little bit with the magnesium oxide, he started taking some gluconate, magnesium gluconate also.
Mm-hmm.
And so you couldn't tell with him what it was because he did a combination.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I think the combinations are good, too.
I think so, too.
I think you don't get so much of whatever it is mixed with, and that might be better.
Yeah, I think that a combination is a really good way to go. And I haven't seen any evidence-based studies on the transdermal yet, but I've heard some very good reports, and I am using it myself sometimes.
I think Dr. Norm Shealy is a component of that. He's a researcher, so he's probably going to come out with something.
Yes.
He's got a lot of research experience.
And, yes, he's very experienced in the clinical setting with this, and I'm really excited to hear about his experiences and his knowledge because I think that we'll learn a lot from that.
Right.
I'm beginning to think that, you know, magnesium deficit can affect, as you well know, all the different systems of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm beginning to think that the central nervous system replenishing that versus replenishing the muscles and the cardiovascular system, and say the kidneys and things, that different supplements go in different ways. And I think this is a whole area of research that we really need to get started on because some people, B12 and magnesium can really help a depression.
Right, that's true.
And and that's a very serious, serious situation. With so many people getting depression and them having to take meds for that. If, in fact, it's a nutritional deficit and magnesium plays a role in it or B12, if you take a supplement that's not really getting into the central nervous system, then you think, oh, well, magnesium doesn't work. But, in fact, what you're saying is that form of magnesium didn't work for that person. And that's really the area we're at, Susan, where the physicians and the case studies and the research are going to have to come together and tell us an awful lot about this extremely important nutrient that is everywhere in the body, vitally important everywhere in the body, and yet very, very low in our diet. And we're impacting that low state with stress, huge stress, noise stress, emotional stress, financial stress, with a lot of calcium.
Mm-hmm.
And with a low potassium all at the same time. It's amazing we're all still doing as well as we are.
I think what we're going to have to do in order to really look at this in individual patients, because there is genetic variability, there is variability in how people handle the supplements or even absorb the supplements, like you say, we're going to have to look at intracellular levels. You know, I was taking 2,000 units of vitamin D a day and still had low intracellular vitamin D. Go figure. So, you know, you really have to look at the intracellular levels. You mentioned this in your book, you know, looking, you can't just measure a serum level of something. Serum levels are okay for gross, you know, things. But if you're doing the research, if you're trying to figure out what is really going to help people, I think measuring intracellular levels of nutrients is going to be the way we're going to have to do this. So hopefully the labs will start going toward that, and insurance will start covering that. And then we can actually precisely develop programs and even IV therapies if needed in the very, very sick. I get some really sick people whose guts are not working at all. And I'm thinking that the IV, at least at first, is necessary until we can control the problems in the gut, the dysbiosis and the leaky gut that are causing them not to be able to absorb anything. I mean, they really just take anything they take by mouth just comes out the other end pretty much unchanged. You know, you can be pretty sure not too much is being absorbed. So
that's right. So the nutrient therapy you're doing is not getting to your patient, really.
So basically, in medicine, we're going to have to start looking at intracellular things as well as with functional medicine, because not everybody has the same problem. Just because they have a low magnesium, that doesn't mean that they get there in the same way.
And it doesn't manifest in the same way.
Right, exactly. There's many, many things going on. Medicine's actually fairly complicated.
And you know, I'm always amazed when you physicians, and I'm so in awe, and you have all this data that says, well, 40% will respond to this drug. Well, that's great. How about the 60% that don't?
Yeah, really.
There's that patient sitting there in front of you, and you go, is this the 4 in 10 or the 6 in 10?
Yeah.
How are you supposed to know?
Well, I love the neurologists. A lot of my friends are neurologists, and they have all these samples. You know, they have all these things that do different things, and they give the patient samples and go try each of these and tell me what works. I just love it. And you know what? Hopefully the patients are intuitive enough to figure out which one it is and go back and say, hey, this one worked better than the other ones. But that's medicine now. Medicine is actually quite interesting. You know, okay, we got all these choices, but we don't know what's going to work for you. Here's a sample.
That's right. That's right. And that's
that may not be the best way to do it. I think we need to go back to functional and nutritional medicine. And, you know, a lot of doctors are. But, you know, only the ones that are brighter are going back there. Brighter
really?
And less lazy. Oh, yeah, because this is complicated stuff. So the people I see going into functional medicine have more curiosity, more intelligence, more patience, and more intuition. So I think we're getting a split in doctors, ones that really are trying to figure things out and are using functional medicine in their practice and playing around with it and educating themselves, and then the other ones who are just still doing the pharmaceutical thing and we'll let the patients make the choice, I guess.
It's wonderful that integrated approach is happening, because the amount of research we have is fabulous and it's wonderful, and if we can focus it where we really need it, we can really have health for a vast majority of our people long into old age.
Yeah, we can. That's true.
We can.
Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. We've been interviewing Dr. Andrea Rosenoff, who is kind enough to get up at 6 in the morning in Hawaii. I'm jealous. I love Hawaii. Anyway, her book, The Magnesium Factor, How One Simple Nutrient Can Prevent, Treat, and Reverse High Blood Pressure, Heart Disease, Diabetes, and a whole bunch of other things, including migraines, muscle aches, back pain. I can go on and on and on, but please get her book, read it. It's actually one of the most important books that the average person over about 40, because this is when all these problems seem to begin, you know, or if you exercise a lot before 40. But this is an incredibly important book for all of the patients to know about, and we recommend that you get it. Thanks so much for joining us, Andrea. I enjoyed our talk.
It's been a pleasure.
All righty, and we'll be back in just a minute discussing the other very important thing, penta water, clean oxygenated water. There's one of the basic things that we can do to help ourselves is hydrate ourselves, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You had plastic surgery, Bill?
You bet I did. I got tired of the wrinkles around my eyes and decided to have Plasticos do something about them.
But I didn't think men had plastic surgery.
Get with it, Bob. Men want to look their best, too. There's nothing wrong with getting a little help from Plasticos to look on top of your game. A lot of guys are doing it, my friend.
Well, I don't know about this.
Look, you see the difference Plasticos made with me. I look better and I feel better. My Plasticos surgery was an investment in me.
So where is Plasticos?
Plasticos is in Dunwoody. Plasticos is staffed by pros who guarantee you personal attention. The Plasticos number is 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available. 770-457-4677.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong, it was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plasticos were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plasticos and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plasticos did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plasticos is a bargain.
Plasticos, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available, 770-457-4677.
Welcome back to Temple of Health Radio Show. Next week, we're going to be interviewing Dr. John Turner, a neurosurgeon, on medicine, miracles, and manifestations. And then on the 25th, Daniel Brinkley, Secrets of Life, Lessons from Heaven. We have the Noetic Science meeting this Thursday, July 16th. Dr. Dave O will be presenting his talk, Consciousness and Healing, A Medical Doctor's Journey as a Patient and Practitioner of Holistic Medicine. This will be at the Dunwoody office. Please call 770-457-4677 for more information. Now we're pleased to have on Rita Conrad from Penta Water. We were talking earlier this hour about the importance of electrolytes, and that is only to be rivaled by the importance of water. Thanks, Rita. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I've been interviewing folks on Penta Water for many, many years now. And, you know, I drink Penta Water, and I feel that it's really important in my overall health, as I have a condition called fibromyalgia. You may have heard of that.
Correct.
And anybody with fibromyalgia, I think, can benefit from Penta Water, but Penta Water has a great history of increasing intracellular function because of how this water gets into the body. Would you like to go into that?
Yeah, I would. Actually, we've got a 13-step, 11-hour process where the first 13 steps we actually purify the water, and it's the purest water that you can drink on Earth. I know that other waters, if you are using the triple zero filter, do measure triple zero on the TDS, and so do we, and most other bottled waters don't. However, it's what we do, and we go far beyond just being a triple zero TDS. We kill the germs, we kill the bacteria, we kill all the micron particles that you couldn't see or couldn't get out with a home filtration. So it's not just about TDS, it's about removing the arsenic and the trace pharmaceuticals and everything else that's in water. But then we put it through the 11-hour cavitation reverse osmosis step, which actually changes the molecular structure of the water. And I know at this point some people are going to be saying, yeah, right, sounds like snake oil. We've got two patents on our water. One is on the process, but mm-hmm. we also have a patent on our water, not just on the process, but the water itself. And the reason we have a patent on the water is because we changed the molecular structure. The clusters are much, much smaller, which means when you're drinking water, your body has mm-hmm. to break down the clusters of the water molecule in order to digest it and hydrate you and get into your system. Ours are smaller, so they get into your system much faster. They hydrate you about 40 times faster. So if you were taking vitamin C with us, for example, it's going to get into your system 40 times faster. But, you know, even over and above that, it's the hydration, it's the purity. We actually have some anti-aging benefits, and we do tremendous research on our water. We have research and studies done by UC Davis and world-renowned dermatologist, from Germany, Dr. Krupman, and others as well. We do outside research. We have third-party research, and we will continue to do research. It's not just something that we've done once and we put it on the shelf and say, wow, isn't that great? Look, we've got that. No, we do this continuously. And I think that in itself sets us apart from other bottled waters, because other bottled waters, they're making it just so that, you know, just like tap water, you can drink it. Okay, you're hydrated. Wonderful. They're done. We're not just another bottled water. It's what our water is. It's a different water. And unlike other waters, most of the waters that are on the shelves today, they're putting sugar in, they're putting flavors in, they're putting, you know, energy stuff in or saying they are. For us, it's not what we put in our water, it's what we take out. And we put that right on the label. We remove trace pharmaceuticals. We remove the arsenic. We remove the MTBE. We remove the chromium 6. And if you look up some of those things, when you're talking about trace pharmaceuticals, it's what do you do with your drugs when you're finished with them or they're expired? They go down the sink. Now, take
right.
that. Think of all your neighbors and how many people are doing that and how much is in your water. When you're talking about the MTBE and the chromium, some of those are leather tanning compounds. So mm-hmm. I mean, these things in your water. And when we did the test on regular groundwater and things like that, and if you look at what's in your regular tap water, there's things like radioactive particles. We take all that out, and we can, you go to our website, all the proof is there. We test well below all the government tests that are required.
There's a new study out showing that there's a lot of artificial sweeteners in the water now.
Right.
Which is interesting. There is,
we don't put any of that in. Again,
right.
We're about what we take out, not what we put
right.
in. And think about it this way. I know people usually say, well, yeah, but I drink mineral water, and isn't that good for you? Let me explain our stance on that. Mineral water is bad for you, but let me put it to you this way. If you're eating a healthy diet, you're getting your minerals, and that's what you should be doing instead of trying to keep putting minerals in your body. But let's just say you want to take something to put minerals in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you should be going and buying a multivitamin where you can read what minerals you're putting in your body and how much. Because if you're drinking a mineral water, I would question anybody to tell me, how many minerals are you putting in and which minerals are you putting in? You don't know. There's sodium in that water. And, you know, if you have high blood pressure, do you really need more sodium? You just don't know.
Yeah, that's true. And also, in terms of what else is with the minerals. Because if there's minerals in the water, there's other things in the water, too, because nothing was taken out.
Correct. And, you know, when you're talking about, there's fish, when you're talking about spring water, there's animals that run through there. And I don't mean to be disgusting or gross, but there could be species that they're not really being purified out of that water, because unless you go through the 13 steps that we do and you're killing bacteria and germs and, you know, microscopic particles, you're still going to get some of that.
Well, there's a lot of studies out now looking at tap water versus the bottled water and finding the tap water is actually better for you. So that's pretty interesting.
We are actually looking into talking to the government about that and seeing if they will give us, you know, like an exception retraction.
Because right, exactly.
If something with those waters, we can prove that we are not one of those.
You are. You definitely are not.
They talk to the big guys with, you know, the Coke and the Pepsis and, you know, all that. I shouldn't say that. I really don't know who they talk to. But I'm talking about they talk to the big companies with money. They didn't talk to Little Penta.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know who exactly they talked to, but I know it was some of the big guns.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, one thing with Penta water, you know that my advice is just to try it, because you can actually tell the difference in the way you feel. You're supposed to take Penta, like drink the whole bottle at once, usually in the morning or, you know, early in the day, and see how hydration feels, because you'll feel a lot better. And I don't care what you have in terms of symptoms. A lot of the symptoms that are more general, fatigue, muscle aches, that kind of thing, mental clouding, get a lot better if you hydrate.
That's true. And if you're waiting until you're thirsty, you're already beyond the point where your body needs hydration. You should be drinking it all the time. You should. The optimal drinking is half your body weight of water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you a little something about that. And I became a believer very quickly when I came on board with the company. One of the things that I noticed is that I don't bloat when I drink this water. Now, I go to the bathroom a lot more, but I don't bloat. And if you're drinking the water with stuff in it, it's going to collect in your system. Now, I don't know about men, but most females don't like to bloat.
Right.
So I see that as a plus. When you're trying to drink half your body weight in water, I don't know about anybody else, but I get to that part where maybe I'm a bottle and a half away from finishing it or two bottles, and I can't drink anymore. I actually gag. I just can't get another sip down. I don't have that problem with Penta because as quickly as it goes in, it hydrates you, and then it washes out of your system and takes the impurities with it. And that's what good water is supposed to do, not collect in your system, not make you bloat.
Well, bloating is more an extracellular collection. I mean, if water is going into your cells and if water is going through your system efficiently, you're not going to have it. You're not going to have the bloating symptoms. And, you know, a lot of people, when they get swollen feet and ankles, take a diuretic, which is interesting, because really if they drink some Penta water, whatever is causing that extra
a cellular accumulation of fluid in their extremities is more likely, and it might just be heart and kidney function, but Penta water will improve that, and a lot of people with swelling say their swelling goes away when once they switch to the Penta water.
Right.
And, you know, basically if you're not on a diuretic that is causing a potassium deficiency or some other electrolyte imbalance, just drinking Penta water will really help a lot of the non-specific symptoms that that we all have. I mean, I think everybody over about 40 or 50 starts to get these symptoms that are related to dehydration and are related to electrolyte. We just did a half an hour with Dr. Rosenoff about magnesium, which is so important. And these deficiencies, lack of proper water intake, lack of proper magnesium, potassium, too much sodium, these are pretty ubiquitous amongst our population.
Right.
And I think most people would say that if you just correct these, a lot of symptoms go away. Now, maybe not everything, but a lot of the more generalized symptoms will go away.
Correct. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, if their ankle starts swelling. Actually, we're proven anti-inflammatory as well. And, again,
mm-hmm.
I'm not just making these things up or throwing them out. You could go on our website. We've got
right.
all the research and studies to prove it.
Why don't you give your website information now?
It's www.pentawater.com.
And people are always asking where you can get Penta water. In most of the larger health food stores like Whole Foods and the other ones, you can get it. But I think you're also available in Publix. Is that right?
I'm sorry. Say it again.
Is Penta water available in some Publix as well?
It's available in several of the big chains nationwide. We're in
mm-hmm.
Whole Foods nationally.
Mm-hmm.
We're in all the organic and specialty stores that are carrying natural.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a lot of the big chains that have organic or specialty sets. For example, if you're in Florida and you buy from Publix, some Publix stores have natural and organic sets, and we are in some Publix.
Okay, good.
You're out here in California. We're carried at Ralph's. We're carried at Bond's. We're carried at Henry's and Jimbo's.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the middle of the state, you know, we've got some of the bigger chains like I'm trying to remember, HEB carries us, Jewel carries us to some extent, but we're mostly
mm-hmm.
in the natural and organic set. If you're going down the regular water aisle and looking for us next to all the $3.99 packages of 24
mm-hmm.
to 36 bottles, or you're not going to find us there.
Right.
We're usually in the set that has all the pure natural organic items.
So look in the health food section of your grocery store.
Correct. Now, what you also can do is you can go to our website, and we've got
mm-hmm.
a store locator there. Put your zip code
uh-huh.
in, you know, for your state, or look at a city of states that we have listed, and you could find
mm-hmm.
the store nearest too. There's a lot of I want to call it independent health food stores out there that
mm-hmm.
that carry us as well, and those are listed on our website as well.
Okay, good. So what if somebody's out in the middle of nowhere and can't find anything health food store around?
We've got that covered too. We've got,
okay.
You can buy Penta online. We do have
mm-hmm.
An online shopping cart. And we've been having some great specials and deals this year. It's our 10th anniversary, so we've
great.
Lowered our prices big time. And
mm-hmm.
Keep throwing in specials, you know, to
mm-hmm.
lower the price just for the public this year.
Great, great. So I know that there was some research. I believe it was done in Russia about some detoxification studies and aging and cancer. Can you summarize some of those for us?
I'm not familiar with those, so I actually couldn't speak about those.
Okay. They're probably on your website, or they might be. I don't know.
I couldn't say for
yeah.
sure.
Well, I'll summarize some of the stuff because we've interviewed, you know, many of the founder of Penta and his son and other people. But basically, the research, as I recall it, is they did cell cultures and using Penta water versus normal.
Oh,
water.
You're
talking
about the fever test. Yes, we have an in vitro and in vivo study. Correct. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, I am familiar with that. And we have found that PEMS is good for you on the inside as well as on the outside. What I said before about the PA, that was the study that proves it, because the cells, when they tested PEMS water against the test water, our cells actually lived longer, if you will, or the mitochondrial part of the cell didn't drop off as quickly.
Right. And there's some evidence in the science that, you know, there's a theory that many of our cells are trying to turn cancerous, especially as we get older, and that penta, which is known to get into the cell easily or more easily because of the microclustering, can help, in general, help keep that process from speeding up, at least. And so I thought that research was good. It's anti-aging and anti-cancer indicators in the research. And at the cellular level.
You know, the cancer community has long known about PEMPA well before anybody else did. And we've got, I've got a book of testimonials on my desk.
Really?
It's about four to 5 inches thick. And it's about people talking about, you know, your water is the only water I could drink when I was going through chemotherapy.
Right, yeah.
My loved one lived, I think, an extra couple weeks because of PEMPA. I know that I felt better as I was going through chemotherapy when I drank it. We have some amazing, just amazing letters from those people. They're tear-jerking, you know, some of them didn't make it through, but their families are thanking us. And it's in a very loving community. And if you even saw the Farrah Fawcett special, she had PEMPA sitting out on her nightstand.
Right. Well, I think anybody that looks at the process that PEMPA puts its water through, the science of the microclustering, tries it, you know, drinks a bottle and sees how it goes in very quickly and doesn't just sit in your stomach, see how some of your more nonspecific symptoms go away when you do PEMPA on a regular basis. And, you know, I think it's a great addition to, you know, I'm not sure how I would do without PEMPA water because of my ridiculous surgery schedule and, you know, operating. Many of my surgeries go over 8 hours, and I actually have them go get PEMPA off my station, and sometimes I put, you know, a little Corvalinem in it, which has magnesium, malic acid, and ribose, and the PEMPA helps everything get in really, really quickly, you know, I frequently, in fact, when I'm getting a little tired, they go, do you want us to go get you some water? And so I use it all the time in surgery, and I think it really helps.
I think so, too. Well, again, we know that it's anti-inflammatory, so when you're going through surgery, we have a lot of doctors that actually suggest to their patients that they should be drinking PEMPA pre and post-op.
Oh, we do. So. We have it on everything we give to them that we recommend that, definitely. We're coming up to the end of our hour. Is there any messages you would like to give to our listening audience?
Well, yeah, you know, we do a lot of tests on our water, as I mentioned. There's a lot of simple tests that you could do. We do a quick test. It's with the, I believe it's the ionic meter. If you do those tests and you see what's in regular bottled water and you see what's not in PEMPA, it would astound you. We are going to be putting that test. We're going to be doing it so we can put it up on YouTube or all of the other you know, viral marketing on the web, so that everybody can see this test. And it's not something that we're making up. It's not anybody can go out and buy this piece of equipment, buy the two, you know, three, four, five types of bottled water, and test it at home yourself. It's a pretty cheap kit. I think it's like $11 or something like that. But we're going to do it on the YouTube and put it on there so that you could see if you really saw what is in some of the water, other water, whether it's tap or other bottled waters. You would be astounded, and I think you would definitely not drink it again. There's stuff that floats around in that water, and you have to think, wow, that's getting into your stomach, and it looks pretty nasty. Sure, it looks great in the bottle when you're drinking it, but again, do you want water that's totally pure and you know that there's absolutely nothing in it, or do you want something where you're kind of taking your chances? You don't know how many minerals. You don't know what the minerals are. Are there trace pharmaceuticals? You know, it's kind of like that commercial, what's in your wallet? Well, in this case, it's what's in your water.
Right. And people can actually just go on the Internet and Google the thing about bottled water / contaminants, and all those studies will come up. They can read them on the Internet.
And there's actually a great site. I don't know it offhand, but I know that you could put in your zip code and see what's in your tap water. But, Penta is trace pharmaceutical free, or even bisphenol A free. I mean, we get a lot of people saying, why are you still in the bottle? Why are you still in a plastic bottle? That's not a good thing. We are environmentally friendly. We moved away from shrink wrap into a recyclable handle for our six packs. We've got recyclable cases. We don't shrink wrap. But beyond that, the reason we're in the bottle we are, if I could address that for 1 second, is because the bottle that we use, yes, it is a plastic bottle, but unlike the very thin plastic bottles, there's no leaching of the plastic into our water.
Right.
It says right on our label, bisphenol A free, and that means that the plastic bottle we use does not leach into your water. If it doesn't say that on your bottle, if you believe it out, it could leach into your water.
Yeah,
so, that's something that we're very proud of, irregardless of the fact that it is a plastic bottle. And, like I said, it's not what we put in, it's what we take out of the water.
Right.
No
What's
other
not
bottle
in
of water is pure.
That's right. Well, we're at the end of our hour. I want to really thank you for joining us, Rita. You've given us a lot of good information, and I highly recommend Penta water for everybody, but especially people with toxic-related illnesses like fibromyalgia or anything where you really need to be cleaning stuff out of your body.
Right.
So,
thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. So this is Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week for Dr. John Turner. He's a neurosurgeon on the Big Island in Hawaii. His book, Medicine, Miracles, and Manifestations, is a great book on spiritual aspects. As I said last week, when two neurosurgeons are talking about spiritual medicine, we must be at the beginning of a new age. Thanks for joining us, and we will be back next week.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong. It was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plasticos were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plasticos and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plasticos did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plasticos is a bargain.
Plasticos, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available, 770-457-4677.